Oh, you see, it's the Tech Webcast with your host, Brad and John.
Due to construction, the information highway will be closed until further notice.
Oh, crap. You should be. It's horrible.
Mr. Beatings to nearly 3,000 clients.
Well, that could be quite painful.
Your computer is about to crash. Place your tray and seat backs in their upright positions. Place your head between your legs and kiss your keyboard goodbye.
Oh, well.
When I stop, we'll file out. Take cover fast. Sounds like a really crappy plan, but okay.
Those are many things you don't want to happen. So tune in to the Tech Webcast. Right here with your hosts, John and Brad, coming to you from Australia. Tech Webcast, everything tech related, with your tech geeks, John and Brad. And now, here is Tech Webcast.
That's all right.
It's just completely crap, just random stuff, just random shit.
It's very good.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, welcome to the Tech Webcast, episode 17. We have John on Skype, and we have Neil from Geeks with Glasses. John's got some questions that he wants to ask Neil. How are you guys?
Good evening, Brad. Good evening, John. How are you?
How are you? I'm good. I'm good.
I'm good.
And John?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, I'm good.
John's got some questions for you, Neil. Neil's from a podcast. He does a show called Geeks with Glasses. And you can check that out, geekswithglasses.net. And John, fire away with the questions, mate.
Okay. The first question is, what do you currently do as a geek?
What do I currently do as a geek?
Yes.
Well, lots of things, I guess. I'm a geek. I've been a geek for a while. I got my first computer and started playing around with PCs when I was about 10 years old, and I kind of spiraled down the geek highway ever since then. So now, you know, 24 years later, what personifies me as a geek, I would say, is I love everything technology and geek related. I've got quite a few computers of my own personal use. I play MMO video games. I play World of Warcraft, Lord of the Rings Online. I've got an Xbox 360 that I play a lot. I subscribe to a lot of podcasts. Watch a lot of podcast shows. I broadcast my podcast, my new podcast, my live show. I don't know. I mean, overall, I'm just a geek. I enjoy all things geeky. I enjoy all things tech related and all things gadgetry. You know, there's a couple of things that are, you know, that are typical of a geek that I don't do, I guess you could say. I'm not a big Star Trek fan. I know I'm getting lots of boos and hisses by the geek community right now, but never really got into Star Trek. And I'm not real big on comic books. I like comic book movies, but I don't buy a whole lot of comic books and enjoy that side of things. But when it comes to technology, I'm about as geek as they get. I mean, I've got every kind of electronic gadget that's come out in the past, you know, 20 some odd years. I've either played with it or I own. So I guess that would be, I also work in a geek job. I mean, my job, I do computer engineering and computer integration for a living. So I guess both my personal as well as my professional life is surrounded by all things geek.
You've been a geek since 10 years old.
Yeah, I got my very first computer at 10 years old. My uncle was in college, and he had bought himself an old Tandy 1000, and was using it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and still now you still have the same strong passion with technology and all that. You
know, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. When my parents brought home our first desktop, which was a Tandy 1000 SX, it had a total of 256K memory. It did not have a hard drive. It had a four-color monochrome monitor. It had two 5 1/4-inch floppy drives, and it ran at a whopping 16 megahertz, and that was high-end for the time. But, yeah, ever since then, I grew up around computers, playing with computers, and doing computer related stuff, from upgrading that Tandy 1000, putting a daughter board on it, which allowed it to be a simulated 286 processor. And back in the day when you know, you weren't allowed to copy floppy drives, they actually would burn a hole into the physical floppy so that you couldn't copy applications. They created a daughter board, which was called a copy to PC board, dropped that in one of the ESA slots, and then that actually allowed you to mimic the floppy and make copies. And it's, I mean, I've been doing it for a long time and absolutely still have the passion and the desire to keep going. I think it's one of those things that's kind of timeless in a modern era. In modern times, you know, geek is never really going to go out of style. and unfortunately, that's the problem that I have with being a geek right now, is that geek has become chic, and I don't like it. I don't like the fact that, you know, if you're a geek, you're considered cool and popular. I kind of liked it when we were our own subset of kind of, you know, yeah. Oh, you're a geek, you know, that type of thing. Now it's like everybody wants to be a geek, and it's like it gives us hardcore geeks that have been doing it for many, many years a bad rap.
That's right. There's also a song called Hail to the Geek. Check that song out, Neil. It's a really great song. It may be dedicated to you in some way
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I'll send you some information on it. All right, next question to Neil. John, far away, mate.
Yeah, what is the best gadget that you've used and owned?
That is a very difficult question. I've had a lot of really cool gadgets. I've had a lot of really cool equipment. One of two things right now, and I hate to sound like the total Apple fanboy by making this statement, but I think right now what is probably the best and most useful gadget that I've owned, I can't necessarily say ever, but right now in the past, you know, 5 years, is probably my iPhone. And the reason I say that isn't specifically because I'm a complete total drink the punch, you know, zombie for Apple, but I mean, the iPhone brings together so many different devices. I remember, you know, 5 to 6 years ago, I used to have a cell phone, and I had a Cassiopeia, which was a Windows CE device for, you know, doing those types of things. And I had, you know, a GPS, and you had all of these things that you had to carry around to do, you know, a few tasks. And with the iPhone integration, with the apps, and with all the functionality of it, I think it's probably one of the coolest gadgets that I've owned. It kind of brings together all of those individual gadgets that you used to have, you know, and we all looked like Batman with our utility belts on, and you had to wear, you know, a super tight belt so your pants didn't fall down with everything that you kind of wore. You know, I used to have a cell phone. I used to have the original RIM BlackBerry that wasn't a phone. I had my Cassiopeia, my pocket PC. You know, all of these things are all combined in a single device. It's pretty efficient. That, and then the other thing that I really think, being a huge audiophile that I am, who listens to music just about all the time, I really like having my Apple TV plugged into my home entertainment center so that I can stream my music to my entertainment system and listen to my music throughout the house. So those would probably be, you know, two of the biggest things. One of them is a little bit more specific, you know, just for, you know, listening to music. But the Apple phone is the iPhone is probably the coolest gadget that I own right now. But that one would actually take a lot of thinking, because I've owned and still own a lot of gadgets. So
so are you like an Apple advocate than a PC or something?
Well, actually, you know, I've been a PC. I'm both. How do you say? I bat on both sides, I guess. I'm currently sitting in my home office, and I have a Dell D800 Latitude laptop, which I use as my media server, and it's plugged in with a 2 terabyte external hard drive. It's got all my media, and it kind of does my server. I use Flash Media Encoder for my live show, and my webcam is plugged into that. Then I've got a Dell XPS 720 gaming computer, which I play World of Warcraft, Lord of the Rings Online, Crysis, Call of Duty. Looking forward to The Sims 3. Can't wait till Diablo 3 comes out. That machine is pretty much dedicated to just playing games. And then I have an old Latitude D800 on another, which is another Dell machine on another desk, which my two sons use. but I also use it to do a little bit of testing. And I just recently, about 6-8 months ago, got into the Mac world. I bought the new MacBook Pro unibody 15-inch when it came out, and got into that. And I also, you know, had just bought the iPhone about, it was last November. It was a little bit before November. I think it was last summer I bought the iPhone 3G. I kind of waited until they worked all the kinks out and they went to the 2.2 firmware and upgraded. I've been an AT&T customer for a long time, so I just recently got into the Apple. But unfortunately, yeah, it seems like it all started. I got the iPhone, then I bought the Apple TV, and then it just spiraled. I bought an Apple TV and, you know, kind of shied away from using my Xbox 360 to stream my media. And then I bought an AirPort Extreme so that I could get my radio in my bedroom, you know, synced up, and I could listen to music throughout my entire house. So, yeah, I kind of drank the punch. I've become an Apple fanboy. However, you know, I make my living working in PCs. So, as we all know, you know, the PC or the Microsoft platformed computing system is 80% of business use, and it pays the bills. The more it crashes, and the more functionality failures that they have, is more job stability that I have.
Yeah, that's geeky indeed. So I read from your personal website that you're currently working as a senior systems integrator. Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Senior. So what is the nature of this job? What do you exactly do? You know, just give us a brief, you know, explanation of what do you do.
I've been in the computer industry for about 15 years now. I started out as coming to your entry level stuff. No, not same job, different jobs, but the same, you know, type of jobs. I've worked my way up. I started when I was 19 working at a software retail store, and then I started working at a bank as a hardware technician as well as a Novell administrator. And then I worked at a couple of internet providers. You might have heard of Earthlink. I worked and did tech support for those guys, did phone support for a while. And then I moved up into a consulting gig with a Microsoft solutions provider that is no longer around, but it was called Quick Start. And that was a nice gig for me. It moved me up into the Silicon Valley, which is, you know, where the action was. Back in the late 90s when the dot-coms were all going crazy, I was working up there and got to experience that. And that was a fun time with, you know, all the dot-coms that were coming up and going crazy and the way technology was taking off. And then I worked for a dot-com for a while. Unfortunately, I got laid off. And that brought me out here to the East Coast, where I've been working, you know, primarily for the past 8-9 years doing defense contracting. So I work for a defense contractor and work at different agencies and different government facilities and military facilities around the D.C. area doing integration. Without getting too specific, what I do is I'm kind of a architectural engineer kind of guy. What I do is I go in and I try and sit down with the, you know, with the customers and figure out what it is that they're trying to achieve, what they want to do, what they're trying to get their analysts working with. And my job is to kind of take a look at hardware and software packages, both COTS and GOTS, which stands for commercial off-the-shelf and government off-the-shelf software applications. And we try and figure out a way of meshing together software as well as hardware to provide a solution for whichever agency I happen to be working at the time or government facility. And we kind of put things together and offer up a solution to get stuff done, essentially. So it's kind of looking at everything and from a high level perspective of, you know, how are we going to integrate Active Directory and you know, an Exchange server, an SMS server, a MOM server. These are all, you know, kind of acronyms. But you know, and pull in Solaris and Sun and Oracle and, you know, all these different applications to achieve a specific function.
So, wow, that's good. Well, you're doing a video podcast, right?
Yeah, I just started one, actually. I've been involved with podcasting for a while with a buddy of mine, and I just started my own live podcast.
So you pretty enjoy it so far?
Yeah, I'm really liking it.
The new media.
I'm sorry?
The new media?
Yeah, getting into the new media. I've almost 2 years ago now, a little over a year and a half, a little longer than that, I went to a meetup. You guys might have heard of Geek Brief TV, Callie Lewis,
yeah.
And Neil Campbell.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, they were Neil Campbell came out and he decided to do the National Geographic I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's basically a boot camp for videography, for documentary videography, and they hold it here in Washington, D.C. And while they were out here and he was doing that, they did a meetup. So Callie and Neil got together at a barbecue joint and, you know, sent out some tweets and posted it on Geek Brief and talked about it. And so a handful of us podcasters and fans of the show met up at a barbecue joint up in D.C., right near Chinatown, and we got to meet and talk with Callie and take some photos and talk with Neil and had a great time. And I ended up meeting a real good friend of mine by the name of Ray Ortega, who is the host of the Podcaster Studio, as well as the host of Produce Picker, which has been his longstanding show. And he and I kind of talked, and we ended up riding the Metro to the same stop on the way home after the meetup was over. And we kind of collaborated, and he's kind of the he's kind of the creative guy and the host of the show, and I'm kind of the technical back end. So I've been helping him do production assistant work on the Produce Picker for a while behind the camera, you know, working cameras and monitoring sound and helping out doing, you know, goofy little skits and stuff during the Produce Picker show, which you can get on iTunes and Zune and all that kind of stuff. And he just recently started the Podcaster Studio based off of seeing a huge need via Twitter for people who want help starting a podcast, be it audio or be it video. And he started doing the Podcaster Studio, and it really kind of – he tried convincing me for a long time to get in front of the camera and start doing something. And so I'd been wanting to do it for a long time, just didn't quite know how to go about doing it and how to start it and – you know, get it up and running. And so he convinced me to just stop worrying about it and just do it. So I did 2 weeks ago. Cool. I set up a YouTube page, set up a Twitter account, set up a Gmail account, set up a Skype account specifically for Geek with Glasses and started doing a live show on Ustream. And I do it every week, Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I kind of am still changing some of the formats and coming up with ideas for doing the show. But it runs for about an hour. And I typically what I'll do is I'll come online and I'll talk about a specific subject. I just happened to do one yesterday on media content sharing. In other words, how do I get my music off my computer and into my stereo speakers? And I just started a segment that I'm calling Tech Flash, where I'm just going to kind of briefly give you a lowdown on, you know, that week's, you know, what I considered, you know, important or high profile type tech stories that are going on in the tech world. I kind of gather my information from things like the Boy Genius Report and Gadget, the Gadgeteer and you know, Ars Technica and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I'm loving it. I really enjoy it. I've got a lot of aspirations for the show. I would love to walk in the footsteps of Neil Campbell and Callie Lewis on Geek Brief and, you know, make my living. Exactly. Yeah. I would love to be able to
stardom.
No, exactly. Well, I'm not necessarily looking for the stardom. I think it's more of a passion for me that I just love doing it. I would love to be able to work for myself doing what I love. And that's kind of where I would like it to take me.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you have more freedom there, you know, to do what you want to do.
Yeah,
exactly.
My question to you, Neil, just before we finish up. John, have we got any more questions you want to ask him? Or?
Oh, yeah, there's the last question.
One more.
The last.
Yeah, one more question I just want to ask before John asks you, Neil. What made you get the name for your podcast?
Geek with Glasses?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I am.
Because you're a geek and you wear glasses?
I'm a geek, and I, well, it's...
And you wear glasses?
It's kind of funny because
it's pretty typical for a geek to, you know, wear glasses, but it's good that you own that nickname. It's not yet it's still available when you check it out.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing, is exactly that. It's kind of like you said, it's kind of typical that geeks wear glasses. You know, I just happened to start wearing glasses when I was 15 years old, and so I've been wearing glasses for half my life. And actually more than half my life now. And I got a
Spider-Man t-shirt. Shit, that just came on by itself.
Sorry. Yeah, anyways, I just I went out there. Unfortunately, geekwithglasses.com was already taken, and I was looking to create a new web page that wasn't MySpace, that wasn't Facebook. It was my own site. I kind of created it using iWeb just to kind of get used to creating something. So I went ahead and registered geekwithglasses.me, which You know, I think even though the .me is not very well known just yet, I think it's going to – you'll see more and more people, celebrities and stuff. Yeah, exactly. Geekwithglasses.me. And then they offered me, you know, when I registered the site on GoDaddy – wait a minute. They should be giving me money now. I'm plugging them. Anyways, when I registered geekwithglasses.me on GoDaddy, they gave me a percentage off for a second domain name. And I was like, okay, well, you know, geekwithglasses.net is available. Might as well snatch it up. And so it was kind of just sitting there stagnant for a while. And so yeah. When I decided to do the live podcast, I decided to associate that with geekwithglasses.net. So
– cool.
Yeah, it's – Yeah, that's where I came up with it. I thought about a bunch of different things.
I like the name. I really like the name. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, how can our listeners, find your podcast website, and how can they connect with you through Twitter or any social networking channel that you're into?
Pretty simple actually. If you go to geekwithglasses.net, that's the live show site that is dedicated. You can get my personal webpage, which has some of my photography and just my own personal blog and that kind of information, which has my Twitter feed on it, is geekwithglasses.me. You can also I set up a YouTube account, which is Geek with Glasses. I think it's Geek with Glasses Live on YouTube. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/pitbikerider, and that's PITBIKERIDER. I haven't set up Geek with Glasses on that just yet. I'm on MySpace. Don't really use MySpace so much anymore. Kind of use it just to track the artists and the music that I like. I use it to find out when people are coming around. But you can get me on myspace.com/pitbikerider. And then you can follow me on Facebook if you want. You can friend me on Facebook. Just do a search for Neil Perrin, N-E-I-L-P-E-R-R-I-N, and that should bring me up. You'll see a picture. It's kind of an animated logo of me. It's a little cartoon character, a manga, of a guy with some black glasses and a Jinx T-shirt on. So you can get me on Twitter. Yeah, you just go to faceyourmanga.com. It was a big popular thing that came out a while ago, and everybody was kind of jumping on it and using it for Twitter. It was specifically generated as, manga is a form of Japanese anime, and they came up with faceyourmanga.com specifically for Twitter avatars and such, and a lot of people had them. Everybody set them up. In fact, there was a webpage that was set up called killyourmanga.com because so many people got sick of seeing mangas. But I happen to like mine. I think it looks just like me, and I think it's kind of a nice little branding logo. So I'm using it anywhere Pit Bike Rider is on the internet. So I've got it literally on my Last FM page, on my Skype account, my Gmail account, my MySpace account. Everything has got that little logo of me. So.
So Brad, question, yes, I have a question for Neil. One more question, mate, sure. And we're going to wrap this up.
Sure.
Pit Bike Rider, now, are you into motorbikes? Is that the name?
Yeah, I am. That's one of the things that I've been – I ride motorcycles. I've been riding dirt bikes most of my life.
Yep.
And I recently, a couple of years – well, about 5 years ago or so, I actually ended up breaking my back.
Wow.
Riding a full-size dirt bike, and was going through the whole, kind of taking it easy for a good year. I didn't get on a full-size dirt bike for a while just because I wanted my back to heal. I didn't want to re-injure it.
Yep.
And in that time, I've got two boys, and one of them is 10 and one of them is 7. And so I decided – to kind of get them into the sport more than they already were, I decided to go out and buy myself a little KLX 110, and through a bunch of aftermarket companies, Red Baron and Sick 110, so on and so forth, I bought a bunch of aftermarket parts and basically tore my bike down to the frame and the subframe and rebuilt it. I put, an extension swing arm on it. I got a nice shock, a Fox air shock.
Yep.
And new rims, new wheels, heavy duty forks, sprockets, and basically rebuilt the entire bike from scratch. And I was trying to go after I was mimicking Ivan Tedesco's pit bike that he rides when he races. So, I've got some friends that are actually AMA riders in the sport bike series, and I've been around motorcycles for a long time, and so that's where Pit Bike Rider came from.
Cool. Sounds good. All right. Well, that's about it. No more questions, John?
Yes.
Well, you got one
more question.
All right. Ask away, Matt.
Nope.
We're going to finish this up.
I think he said that was it.
Oh, that's it. Is that it,
yes.
John? Is that it?
Yes, yes.
Excellent.
Cool. Great stuff. Okay, you can email us at thetechwebcast@gmail.com, and you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/techwebcast. And John, what's your video side project called Tech Conclave? What's the rest of that?
Tech Conclave, the third episode will be out on April 15th.
Okay.
So hopefully one day I'll be able to feature you, Neil, there.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of our future Geek of the Week.
Sounds good. Yeah, no, I watched your episode. Yeah. I watched episode 2 just the other day, and I saw those. Like, wait a minute, Geek of the Week? That sounds just like Geek with Glasses to me.
Sounds good.
If you want to get a hold of the show, if there's any of your listeners out there that are interested in any kind of a show topic, feel free to email me at geekwglasses@gmail.com, and I'll take suggestions for show ideas. That would be great.
Cool. Sounds good. Cool. All right, here is a song for you, Neil. This is Hail to the Geek, and hope you like it. Enjoy.
Excellent. Great, Brad. John, it was great. Thanks for having me.
Yep, no problems, mate.
I got a bad mustache, a reoccurring rash, and not a lot of cash to spend it on mustache. Man, it's good to be a geek. It's good to be
good
a geek.
It's good to be a creep. All right, I better not play too much of that because I'll probably get in trouble for it.
Yeah, really.